Welcome to the SMB Community Podcast with hosts Amy Babinchek, James Kernan, and Carl Polacek. Produced by Kernan Consulting and for the international MSP community, we are dedicated to making every IT professional a successful IT professional. Hey, everybody, welcome back to the SMB Community Podcast. This is James Kernan with Kernan Consulting, and I'm here with a special guest today. We're going to talk about the importance of the and changes in the tax law around the R&D tax credits for tech companies. So today's special guest, I'm excited to interview him and talk about this because this is a game changer in your business. Because there's a lot of benefits to this. And our special guest today is going to talk about that. His name is Justin Maxwell. Justin is the owner and one of the partners in a financial firm called Big Life Financial. Hey, Justin, welcome to the program.
James, it's good to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
All right, you bet. So just a little background. We're going to ask Justin to introduce himself a little bit more, but we actually had him come speak at one of our mastermind conferences just late last year. And it was one of the best presentations on tax law I think I've ever seen. Now, granted, this isn't the most exciting topic, but in business, it's all about making more money and saving more money. This is going to save everybody a lot of money. And in some instances, make you money too. So I'm excited to interview Justin. But Justin, hey, before we dig into the topic, if you could tell everybody a little bit more background on you, and then we'll talk about the company next.
Yeah, so I'm a father of four. I live in Salt Lake City, Utah. I'm kind of in a unique position because I didn't grow up in the financial industry. I didn't go to college thinking I'm going to be a tax professional or I'm going to be a financial person. I went to college in a weird state of not even being in the entrepreneurial world. Like I wanted to be a college professor. I was teaching school at elementary and middle school. And I was just awakened to this world of entrepreneurship when I went to an event and I heard the speaker speak. And it was like a 360 in my mind. Like this whole world that didn't know existed, that I didn't know, I didn't think I wanted to be in, just was open and illuminated to me to that I like have a lot of passion for this. It just was like, I don't know, it was like one of those flash in the pan light bulb moments of like, you can do this. And so I made a huge career shift. I shifted, left teaching, started doing entrepreneurial things, and I'm in this world now. But I did not come from the typical hustler in middle school where you're selling stuff to other kids. Like that wasn't me at all. So I hope that gives a little bit of insight into who I am.
Yeah. Well, as always, Justin is being very, very humble. I mean, he's very smart, Mensa smart. And I've talked to hundreds of advisors throughout the years, lots of bankers, and tax advisors, but I'll tell you, Justin is one of the most articulate guys I've ever seen that talks about this mind shift in your business. And what I wanted to highlight before we dig into this is, when Justin was doing his presentation in Newport Beach at the Mastermind event, he was talking about you just changing the whole trajectory of your business and thinking more legacy long-term. Most business owners, you know, to me, making money is really easy. The hard part is keeping it. And most people come to me and say, hey, James, I need your coaching or your programs. I want to grow my business and make more money. That's easy. We can do that all day long. But as we've continued to run programs like that and my customers are making more and more money, I'm not an expert on this. I've got a lot of experience with it, but that's why we need experts like Justin and his firm to come in and help you build a legacy and grow your net worth, not just your net income. And it's really important. I want everybody to understand that because it's not about how much money you take home, you know, week over week or month over month. It's how much you get to keep at the end of the year. And that's what you're doing to build your net worth. So anyway, let's talk a little bit more, if you could, Justin, about Big Life Financial and the services that you guys provide.
Yeah, I appreciate your kindness, James. That's very kind of you. the thing that set Big Life Financial is very unique. And the reason that we're unique is we've identified a problem in the industry, and it's going to relate back to what you just said, James. We have found that the vast majority of business owners are quite good at making money. Like, they have businesses that produce income. They have businesses that produce profit. But when then you look at the balance sheets, you look at both the business balance sheets, the personal balance sheets, and you're like, where's all this money going? Like, it's disappearing. And the reason that we're so unique is that we've found that business owners are getting siloed advice from their professionals. And we believe that that's a part of the problem of where the money's going. So the business is over here. It makes the money, comes into the household. The tax advisor is completely over here. The investment manager's over there. The insurance advisor's over there. You have maybe a state attorney in your back pocket, but none of those entities, none of those things are actually communicating. And because there's a communication gap and a cohesive connection gap there, we believe that there's a lot of inefficiency to happen. So I like to view this as, if I had a table and money's falling from the sky, if my table is fractured, I have a whole bunch of money slipping through the cracks.
Right.
And that money is money that you could have had the table just been connected. So what we at Big Life Financial have done is we've connected all of those financial professionals together so that everyone's on the same page. Everyone knows what's going on. Everyone's speaking the same language. Everyone has the same philosophies. Everyone has the same strategies. They're just in their own individual fields. So now when the money's falling, it's being caught on the table. And that caught is that's extra money for you, your visions, your dreams, your aspirations can be pushed further because you have a cohesive team, all communicating, all collaborating consistently.
Yeah, that's a great point. A light bulb went off for me, and you're exactly right. A lot of business owners don't connect the dots of their advisors. And there's a lot of different advisors that are going to help you business owners, you know, grow your business, make more money, and keep more money. But Justin's point is you need them all on the same sheet of music. And very rarely, and honestly, I'm guilty of it as well, you know, to a certain extent. I didn't have all my advisors all on the same sheet of music until after I heard your presentation. So thank you for that. I rattled the bushes pretty hard in December. So let's dig into the R&D credits. I'm really excited to share. I remember when COVID hit, I had a heart for the industry, and I was online constantly talking about the PPP money, the EIDL, and then we talked about the R&D, and then the tax law changed, and then those things all kind of went away, you know, I think around, 21, 22, and then now the tax law had just changed. So give everybody a quick overview of how that applies to technology businesses today and what that looks like from an R&D credit.
Yeah. So I think it's important to let's actually take it even back further, because I think it'll help people see the picture of how does this apply to them? And like, why is this even there? And why is the government offering to this them? Because I found that if we start at the beginning, it helps people see the full picture. So in 1980, the Japan automakers had surpassed the United States automakers when it came to market share in the United States and when it came to the auto market share.
Yep.
That didn't sit well with our leadership, our government. And so what they created the R&D credit as legislation, as a means to incentivize United States' largest automakers, the Fords, the Chevys, to start hiring more engineers that are US-based. Because what was happening is Japan automakers were taking US engineers and hiring them. So like, we need to incentivize you to hire more US-based engineers and incentivize you to take more risk on innovation so that you can become the top of the market again. And US-based companies are leading the world. So that was the initial R&D credit. But those key principles of hire US-based employees and give you the permission to take innovative risk are going to be the driving factor behind the R&D credit all the way up to today. But from 1981 to 2015, the R&D credit was not in the tax code. It had to be legislated every few years, and it kept being legislated. But it was primarily, if you were a technology company that was doing $1 to $3 million in revenue, you would have never been able to claim the R&D credit between 1981 and 2015, because the rules were really stringent. You had to spend X amount of dollars. You had to document everything. It was just unrealistic for any small business to actually claim it. 2015, it's permanently placed in the tax code under Section 41, but it wasn't just permanently placed in the tax code to keep leaving it for the big business owners to claim. It was permanently placed in so that they could finalize the rules that made it possible for small business owners to actually start utilizing the credit. So that was one of the primary reasons they put it in the tax code, was to codify it, but codified it for the small business owner. And okay. So from 2015 to 2022, you could claim the credit in full and small business owners could claim it. But like you mentioned, there was a tax code change that happened in 2022 that made it, you could still claim it. It just made it, the economics weren't as sexy. They weren't as good. And it,
right.
So that it just didn't make a lot of sense for most small business owners to go through the hassle of doing it.
Right.
So 2022 to 2025, that's still the case. So no one's really claiming the R&D credit between those years. But you have to remember, I realized a lot of people, the tax code is complex and it is like ambiguous at times, but you also have to realize that the government puts things in the tax code for people to take advantage of, to utilize. And so if the R&D credit's in the tax code and it's not being utilized, it's useless. So is what they did with the big, beautiful bill that just passed about 6 months ago in July of 2025, is they reverted it back to the way it was between 2015 and 2022, so that it would incentivize business owners to start utilizing it again. Because otherwise, what's the point of having something in the tax code that doesn't get utilized? It's completely useless. And I realize that our government has some incompetencies and there's a lot of things wrong with the IRS and their ability to function, but they actually do want business owners utilizing the tax code. Because if you're doing something there, you're doing something that, if you're, the R&D credit's a great example. If you're doing the R&D and you're pushing innovation, you're trying new things, you're testing out new technologies, you're building new processes, new systems, you are going to probably discover a new way of doing something that then helps all of the American businesses, even if it's just, even, and it doesn't have to help all of the American businesses, but the chances are greater if more businesses are doing that, and it keeps America at the top of the economy, more taxes are paid. Like, there's a reason that the government is incentivizing you to do it. But you have to realize that the R&D credit isn't some mysterious thing. Like, the government wants you, if you qualify for it, to utilize it. And that's why they changed the rules with the big, beautiful bill in late last year.
Got it. Okay. And I've heard many of the MSP business owners come back and tell me, like, oh, we're not a research and development company. We're not going to qualify for that. How would you respond to that?
Yeah. So one of the biggest dangers of anything in the tax code is to self-diagnose that I don't qualify for that. I call this the red velvet rope syndrome, where you put up the red velvet rope and you watch the celebrities go by and you're taking the pictures, and that's not me, but you're the one that put up the red velvet rope. You actually didn't check if people walked down the actual aisle and be a part of that group. You made the self-assessment that you made that decision. And that primarily comes from the word research and development, where that immediately triggers in my mind engineering firms creating new, inventing new things, white coats, lab testing and tubes. Like, our minds immediately go there when you hear research and development.
Exactly. Exactly.
And maybe when the R&D credit first was in place in 1981, maybe that was the case. Like, it was more so centered on those things.
Yep.
The R&D credit is much broader than just those things. And if you self-diagnose out, you never actually know if your business actually qualifies. So I would tell people in that boat, don't self-diagnose out until you've had a professional look at it. They can be done. Most R&D professionals will do a complimentary review. So they'll look at it and they can tell you, you don't qualify. And if you don't qualify, that's completely fine. It's not, you're not trying to force a square peg into a round hole. But in our experience, a lot of MSPs are going to meet the criteria of the four-part test, which is how the R&D credit gets met and how you qualify for it.
Yep.
More often than not. And if you self-diagnose out, you're choosing to pay more taxes than you have to on an annual basis. And it's your choice to do so. And when you look at the math, so the average business owner in America, according to the Wall Street Journal, overpays their taxes by about $11,000 a year. We've found that it's $11,000 per $150,000 of income.
Okay.
But the R&D credit can be a part of that. So you're choosing every year to send $11,000 extra to the government without, because you chose not to engage in the tax code. If you look at that over a 30, 40 year career, you're looking at $300,000 to $400,000 of lost capital. But it's not even that lost capital. It's what that lost capital could have become. You're talking millions of dollars that is removed from your retirement, from your legacy, from your ability to live, just because you chose to self-diagnose out before someone told you yes or no on it. So that's how I would respond to that question.
Wow. Wow. Well, great answer. And from my experience of, I've had dozens of clients that are all MSP technology companies that have gone through that process, and they have qualified and they have gotten the rebate. So thank you for the additional detail there. That's awesome. So help us understand, a little bit more about when they do qualify, what does the process look like, and how many years can you go back?
Yeah. So because of that big, beautiful bill change, normally when you amend taxes in the United States, because every American can amend your taxes as many times as you want in a 3-year period. So for 2022, for example, 2022 is going to expire in 2026 at some point this year. Like, you will not be able to amend 2022 anymore. And it's dependent on the day you filed. So if I have filed my 2022 taxes on April 15th, April 15th is my deadline to go back and amend 2022.
Okay.
That's normally the case at all times, except for this instance with the R&D credit. So with the R&D credit, because it was a different tax code between 22 and 25 before, but the big, beautiful bill gave you a 1-year window to go back and fix it. So for 22, 23, and 24, you have until July 6th, 2026 to go back and amend those taxes, even though for the R&D credit, you can still amend them for other things, but for the R&D credit, you will not be able to amend those taxes after July 6th, 2026. And it's because of the big, beautiful bill and because of the changes that took place. So what that does is it forces you to, I have to make a decision quickly. I have to look into this. And I have to decide whether, not you decide, I thought the professionals decide whether or not my company qualifies for the credit or not. And if I do, I have until that deadline to actually make the decision and do the amendment. And then the cool thing about this, though, is when we say amendment and we're doing all this and I'm saying this, the prize at the end of this is if you're doing the amendment, the IRS is going to send back the taxes that you already paid that you shouldn't have paid because you should have claimed the R&D credit in 22, 23, or 24, and even into 25. So they're sending those dollars back to you, so you're getting checks and or direct deposits from the IRS. It is extremely rare for the IRS to send money back to you. You're almost always having to pay them. This is one of the instances where if you qualify for the credit, they'll actually send you a check for qualifying.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've seen and heard that happen to many of our clients that I work with. So to me, one of the coolest things you just said was we're not just talking tax year 25. We're talking about 22, 23, 24, and 25. So there's tens of thousands of dollars available in credits each of those 4 years.
Yeah. Right?
So multiply that times 4. That's pretty awesome. And then I think you also said there is a deadline. There is a sense of urgency for people to talk to you or talk to their advisor. And it's July 6th?
Correct. July 6th, 2026. But I would recommend people, you engage in that conversation a lot sooner so that it has to not, you don't have to engage in the conversation by July 6th. You have to file the amendment by July 6th. And there's a lot of time, energy. You have to have the accountant, has to have the time to be able to do the amendment. You have to have the R&D specialist go through the whole process of reviewing, prepare the credit study, get everything ready. So I would say give yourself at least a month to a month and a half before the July deadline to ensure you actually get to take advantage of it.
Yep. And your firm actually does that. You'll do the qualification, the analysis, and then you could do the amendments and send those in on behalf of your clients, right? You
Correct.
Guys do all of that. Okay.
Correct. Yeah.
I just want to make sure. Okay. All right. Excellent. Well, I'm excited about this because again, this is a game changer. I had a lot of clients back in, 21 that did this and qualified, and I'm excited to hear about. And it's kind of flown out of the radar screen. I'm still shocked that we don't see more or hear more about it in the Wall Street Journal or in the day-to-day news, because this is big money that's available to all of us small business owners, and you just don't hear about it in the media.
Yeah, there's a few issues as to why. The primary reason is that most accountants are generalists. So just view that when I say that, think of it just as like your everyday physician, if we're thinking this in a medical side of things. Your everyday physician can do a lot of things, but when it comes to more specialty things, they might miss some advice that they should have given to you because they don't know the specifics of that individual area of health. And you might have to go find someone that's that specialist to get that specialized knowledge for that thing. Same thing in the accounting world is because the vast majority of Americans aren't business owners. And then there's a large percentage of business owners that don't qualify for the R&D credit. So it's super niche. And it just requires a specialty. And that's what we've found is one of the reasons why you don't hear about this very often is it just isn't applicable to a lot of people.
And I just want to emphasize something important that you just said. For CPAs, this is the busiest time of the year for them, coming into this basically Q1 into April. This is the busiest time for them. So their willingness to go above and beyond and put a little extra effort and do some research and look into this is very nil. They just don't have the bandwidth. And frequently, I remember this vividly, I got multiple calls from clients calling me back saying, oh, my CPA said that I don't qualify. They self-diagnosed and said, I don't qualify. They know our books. And it's like, well, you need to talk to another CPA. You need to talk to a firm like Big Life Financial, talk to Justin and his team, because I beg to differ. So, and in every instance, it worked out for their benefit.
Yeah. And I would really want to tap that, really to echo that, because it's really important that you understand just the nature of the accounting world is that most accountants stick with what they know really heavily. Like, they don't want to cause audits for anything, and they want to sign their name behind stuff that they feel comfortable with. Yeah. And if they don't have clients, because you might be the only client they have that qualifies for the R&D credit. So they don't, like, it's not something they're regularly doing or can check on. So their blanket answer most often, if it's new to them, is going to be no, because they don't want to cause harm to you. They're doing it out of protection, but it actually harms you because you're the one that pays more in taxes. So you have to have a realization that, unfortunately, the nature of our world with the accounting industry is that most accountants play it safe. When I play it safe is they aren't willing to stretch their practices, their ability to help people save taxes outside of the very basics. And if you're a business owner who cares about your money and wants to create legacy and wealth, like I mentioned, that's millions of dollars over the life of your business and money-making years that you're missing out on. So you have to make the decision. This is my money. This is my choice, not my accountants, even though they have the best, they're trying to have the best interest in mind for you. And if you want to have multiple opinions, go get multiple opinions, because it doesn't just have to be us telling you qualify. Like, go look at another R&D firm and have them look at you. If you really feel like, why is it that they're not telling me? Like, I think that's important, but you have to understand that it's your money, not your accountants. And you have to take the responsibility for it.
Well, good. Well, it feels like we really covered the topic well, but before we break, is there anything else, Justin, that you think we've missed on the R&D credits or big picture?
Yeah, I think there's two things I want to touch on. So one is, like, what can you expect? Like, how much can you save in taxes typically? So I need to emphasize this very heavily. Every business is completely different. So though I'm going to use broad strokes here, you cannot hold me to any of the numbers about the SIGI. I'm just giving numbers. We've done just over 1,000 R&D credit studies in our life of our business. And this is lots of data that kind of supports this, but that doesn't mean that's what you're going to get, because every business is completely different. Is what we typically find is that per million of revenue, if you qualify for the credit, you're probably going to land between about $7,000 to $10,000 in tax savings. You could get more than that. You could get less than that. That's just a very general statement. So if you now take those numbers to whatever your business is and then just times that by 4, and that's the amount of money that's on the table to come back from the IRS or save in taxes in the future, just as a, so you have an idea of how valuable is this to you.
Interesting.
But the second thing I want to mention is once you have identified how much money is there, I want you to not just think about saving the taxes for saving the taxes' sake, but what can that money do to accelerate my business's ability to sell in the future, become a better asset, invest in other people's assets, and become greater wealth for me? So how can I use this strategy to help me accelerate my potential and wealth inside of these things? And if you pair those two things together, I found that business owners who do that really start to just push forward with more innovation and more help, and their wealth starts to accelerate. They start reaching their goals faster because they're taking advantage. They're not viewing taxes over here and wealth over here. They're viewing them as one and the same. And I think that that's an important message just to finish with as you start thinking around how much money could potentially be on the table for you and your business and family.
Yeah, great points. Excellent. All right. Well, good stuff. Hey, thanks for being on the program and educating our listeners on the advantages of the R&D tax credits. I appreciate that. How can folks get in touch with you? What's the best way to reach out to you and your firm?
Yeah, you can go to biglifefinancial.com/JK. We tried to make it super simple. It stands for James Kernan. So again, biglifefinancial.com/JK. We will do a complimentary no cost review of does your firm qualify for the credit? And if you do, we can help you go get it and help you get the money back and help you do all the amendments. If you don't, at least now you know, at least in these years, I didn't qualify. Doesn't mean you won't qualify in the future, but now you have the sure knowledge of I'm not self-diagnosing out. I have what the professionals tell me. I don't.
Yeah. Yep. Well said. All right, Justin. Well, great again to see you. Appreciate you sharing. And until next time, thanks everybody for listening in on the SMB Community Podcast. Thank you for tuning in to the SMB Community Podcast. If you found this interesting or fun, please subscribe, share with your friends, and give us a thumbs up on your favorite social media. We would love to hear from you, so reach out anytime on the website at smbcommunitypodcast.com.